guest growl, Ramona. Let's hear it. Hey, people, it's Mason in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace, who's on vacation number 17 for 2021. And we've got a ton to get to. The baseball All-Star game is tonight. The home run derby was last night. We've got NBA news. Our NBA Team USA has fallen apart. They play again today, this afternoon. We're going to hit it all. But, Ramona, I was thinking about something. Yesterday, I almost choked on the show. Now, if you didn't hear it, we're doing the show from our respective houses. But sooner or later, we're going to be back in the studio. And I was reading this promo. We were giving away this Led Zeppelin thing. And, well, just hit it, Jorge. You can buy them at Ticketmaster.com. But right now, caller number 7 wins a pair of those tickets. Excuse me, 877-710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA. So very professional. I can
laugh because you didn't die.
Yeah, well, okay, so that's my question. So there was a story on Sunday. Mm-hmm. There a guy named Willie Ross was at the National. Now, he has two sons that play in the major leagues, Joe and Tyson Ross. So Willie Ross was at a game in San Francisco, I guess it was on Saturday. And a fan, he was there watching one of his sons pitch.
Joe Ross.
A fan started choking on a hot dog. And this guy, Willie Ross, who's a pediatrician at Stanford Hospital, and he was there rooting for the Nationals. Joe Ross plays for the Nationals. Got up, performed the Heimlich maneuver on this fan, on this woman, and saved her life. So it got me to thinking, if I'm in studio and that happens again, like I start choking. Mm-hmm. Ramona, let's start with you. Do you know the Heimlich maneuver?
So I got training before Daniel was born.
I did too, but that's baby training. It's different.
Baby training. Well, I think it would probably be better than nothing.
Okay, what, Lindsay? Could you save me, or would I die?
Well, if you were there in person, I could save you because I know how to do the Heimlich. But I was thinking, you know, if what happened yesterday happened, but you really were choking, and like Lisa wasn't home or something, like what would we do?
Ramona would just go on with the show, and you would, you'd fill in. You know, tomorrow they'd just hire another host and probably tell people it's me.
But Jorge, I mean, we'd have to like call 911, right?
Jorge, are you trained with like? Do you know the Heimlich? Do you have any medical training?
I don't, man.
Yeah, I think I'm screwed. Lindsay, you're pretty calm. Have you ever performed the Heimlich on someone else?
I had to perform it on my dog once.
On your dog, but not on a
your
human.
Dog.
Not on a person. It's totally different with a dog.
Unless Willie Ross happened to be visiting the show that day, I think I'm screwed. Now, this happened once on the Laker plane.
Really?
Billy Mack, started choking. And there, you know, the whole media sits together on the back of this plane. So we start yelling for the trainer. I can't remember if it was still when Gary Vitti was on the plane or Marco or Nina or, you know, there's always a trainer on the plane. The trainer was busy. They were in the front doing something else. So they were not, and Billy is choking. So Ramona, like you, I received Heimlich training, but for babies. Like when Jack was a baby, Lisa and I took that parenting class you all take. So I know you've got to, like, put your hands together and lift under the diaphragm. So I can't, like, everybody's sitting around watching Bill choke. And I can't sit there. I can't, like, I've got to do something. So I start trying to do the Heimlich. And I'm not kidding. He, like, you know, you're playing charades and you're trying to sell somebody to stop. What I was doing was no good at all. And Billy was basically, without saying it, begging me to stop. And eventually, whatever he was choking on, it worked out fine. But my interceding into this did absolutely nothing. Did not help him at all. But it got me to thinking, if I really was choking, I'm kind of screwed with the three of you, aren't I?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I would try. Like,
I think we'd be all right. I could do it.
But the thing is,
what do you mean you could do it? You just said you've never done it.
I've never done it, but I would try.
I've been trained on how to do it.
Yeah, so Ramona, you're like me.
To do that.
You're like me. If you ask Bill about it today, he'll go, Ireland just made things worse. Whatever he did just made things worse.
It was more annoying. Get away from me.
Yeah, literally. Like, he couldn't get me off of him faster.
I mean, I actually, you know, when you have a baby, you know, early on, they kind of like choke a lot. They throw up a lot. They do. So, like, I was glad I took that course because I think pretty early on we had a few, like, where they start, you know, they don't have very much of a stomach, right, when they're really little. So if they drink too much milk or whatever it is, like, sometimes they just, you know, you have to, like, know what to do and be very calm about it. You just, like, turn them over and make sure they, you know, have some place for it to go, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah, but does that make sense? I'm trying not to be too graphic, right?
Right. Later in the show, you're going to really have to dance around something I'm going to bring up. But did you watch The Bachelorette last night?
No.
Okay, so wait till I tell you what's happening on that show.
Okay.
But in the meantime, home run derbies last night, baseball all-star game is tonight. Did you watch Shohei Ohtani?
Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. That was like the finals.
Right. Well, so Shohei got into a knockdown dragout with Juan Soto in the first round. By the way, there was never any doubt, if you watch this, and I watched the whole first hour of it, that Pete Alonso was going to win.
Totally.
He was he won last time they did it in 2019. He was so much better than anyone else. You know, Ramona, he's made more money winning the last two home run derbies than he has playing for the Mets.
That's amazing. Like, what's his salary?
He's on a rookie deal, so he makes a little more than $600,000.
Wow.
And each time he's won the derby, he gets $1 million.
Wow.
So Alonso hits some outrageous number of home runs, like 35 home runs in the first round. Mm-hmm. And the guy he was going up against was pretty good. Some guy for the Royals, Salvador Perez, I think.
Yeah, catcher.
And he hit like 28. That was the second most in the first round. But in the first round between Ohtani and Soto, they both kind of started slow and got hot at the end. And at the end, they each had 22. So they gave them an extra minute each. And they each hit 5 in the extra minute. So they're tied at 27. So then they go to this thing called a swing off. And Soto was just brilliant. The swing off is you only get 3 pitches where you actually swing. You can lay off pitches if they're not perfect. So Soto laid off 2 or 3 pitches and then cranked one out. Then he laid off 2 or 3 pitches and cranked another one out. Then he laid off a pitch and cranked it. So he had 3 swings, 3 home runs.
Yep.
And Ohtani, you know, couldn't do it. He hit a grounder on his first one and he was out. But I got to thinking, Ohtani looked nervous to me. Did he look nervous to you?
Yeah, he was kind of like, in the beginning part of his round, he couldn't find the stroke. I think he had like 1 home run in his first 13 swings. And it was getting a little uncomfortable, right? Like, oh man, this guy's going to be the face all-star weekend. And then he's, you know, he hit 1 home run. I mean, this isn't going very well. And you could tell he was kind of like, just even his mannerisms, like he was laughing. He was kind of trying to shake himself out of it. Finally, he called timeout, which I thought was a good thing. You know, you could call timeout at any point. But then he really found a groove and he really started pumping him out of the yard. And it was fun to watch because it's not hitting. That's what people always say about the home run derby. It kind of messes up your swing. Like, he was roping line drives. It's not like he was doing bad. He just wasn't hitting.
Well, once he got in a groove, he was fine. But I wonder if you're an Angels fan, we got a lot of Angel fans listening. Are they putting too much pressure on Ohtani? I mean, like tonight, he pitched in Yankee Stadium a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and he got lit up.
Yep.
You know, he's had a great season, but when he got on the big stage against the Yankees, he kind of got lit up. Tonight, Ramona, they're leading him off. He's the starting pitcher for the American League, and the first batter he's going to face is Fernando Tatis. I'm now starting to think, I mean, I know he's the one that everybody wants to see. He's the brightest star in baseball. Mm-hmm. Are we asking too much of him this weekend? Or not this weekend, but over these 48 hours?
Yeah, the answer is yeah, but that's what we do. So, like, yes, that's too much to ask. Yes, there's a lot on you. But also, that's what the great ones want, and that's generally, you don't always have to give us the perfect moment. I mean, the truth about the home run derby is he put on a good enough show that I thought that first round battle with him and Soto was almost better than the rest of the derby. Like, that was really compelling. And I was fine that when Soto hit those three. He was like, that was awesome. Juan Soto is really good too, by the way. He's one of the faces of the league too. I would say Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis Jr., Shohei Ohtani. Those are the young stars that are really exciting for baseball right now. And to me, like, I was perfectly fine that he didn't move forward. I didn't think he flopped at all. I thought he battled through like a rough start and then really turned it on. So if he gets out there and gives up a home run to Tatis Jr., I mean, not the greatest start. I mean, if he gets, you know, gives up seven runs, not the greatest, but it's also fine because he can go up there as a DH and maybe he'll do well there. I mean, he's got so many opportunities to do something well.
All right, so here, follow me here, Jorge. Here's Ohtani. Now, remember yesterday the big story was Stephen A. Smith went on First Take and said, hey, learn how to speak English. If you want to be the biggest star in the game, it would help if you spoke English. Ohtani still speaks to a translator. So here he is. He was asked on about pitching tonight, being the starting pitcher in the All-Star game. You will hear his answer through a translator. Hit it.
I was actually not expecting to be chosen as a pitcher at all, but to be named the starter, I was really not expecting that at all, but it's a huge honor, and I'm going to try my best.
Okay, so that story is still kind of on the back burner. As a matter of fact, Stephen A., while we were on the air yesterday, issued a flat-out apology, and he continued with his apology this morning on First Take. I thought this was good, Ramona. Jeff Passan, who is probably the number, one of our top three baseball guys at ESPN. You got Buster, you got Passan, you got Tim Kirkchian. You got a handful of guys that do this full-time for the league. Passan went on First Take to kind of give a response to what Stephen A. said about Ohtani, and here's what Passan said.
Shohei Ohtani came to this country at 23 years old. He left behind his family. He left behind his culture. He left behind his country. He left behind everything he knows to go and pursue the American dream. He wanted to come here and be great. And he is the sort of person who this show and who this network and who this country should embrace. We are not the ones who should be trafficking in ignorance. We are not the ones who should be perpetuating false ideas that, unfortunately, far too many people out there believe. We should look at Shohei Ohtani as a bastion of what this country and this sports world is about. And you know what he's done? He has reached that greatness. He has achieved that. He has found it here in America. And he's done so without speaking English publicly, and he's done so speaking English to his teammates.
I thought that was brilliant. And, you know, it gets back to, Ramona, there aren't very many things that are better than the American dream. Like, I know later in life he's had some missteps, but I love the Arnold Schwarzenegger story.
Yeah.
That he's a bodybuilder in Austria who doesn't speak English, and he comes here and not only becomes a movie star, but becomes governor of California. I mean, you wouldn't, if you wrote it
seriously,
in a script, nobody would believe it. And I thought the point that Jeff made about how he left everything behind to come here and live his dream, and that he's doing it, is kind of should be the lead. You know, like the fact that he doesn't speak English publicly is almost like saying, you know, yeah, you lead the league in home runs. You throw 100 miles an hour, but your car's dirty. You know, it just doesn't matter in the big picture of things, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think it's also about the framing of Ohtani, right? Like, and I mean narrative framing. Okay, like if you see him as a cultural phenomena, right? Like, let's see if the guy from the Japanese leagues can come over here and do it in America, right? Like that's the way I think a lot of people saw it, is like, would his greatness play? Could he do both the hitting and the pitching at a decent level, let alone a great level? Okay. And the way Jeff phrased it, I think, is a totally different narrative frame, which I think is really, really beautiful, to be honest. I mean, this is a guy, it's not about, okay, can he succeed here? It's like, he left it all behind in pursuit of a dream. Like that is a very
well, and it's not can he succeed here? He is succeeding here. No one's ever done what he's doing.
He's leading the league in home runs. He's a great pitcher. He's he's legitimately good enough to be starting in the All-Star game as a pitcher and as a hitter. That wasn't something they did for publicity. He's legitimately that good this year. And I think it's, you have to remember, it's not just about, you know, they always say, like, you know, people move to Los Angeles. Can you make it in Hollywood? Can you make it on Broadway? Like, we forget what people give up in order to go pursue that dream, right?
Right.
So not only did this isn't just moving from a small town and wherever, this is moving from a whole country where you don't get to see your friends and family for months.
Okay, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
So honest answer to this question, you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
After Ohtani was eliminated, did you keep watching the Derby or did you change the channel?
I went to the park with Daniel.
I went to the Team USA game against Australia,
yeah,
which they lost, and we'll get into that next. Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland. Happy to have you with us, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, this week it's Momo and Ireland. Ramona Shelburne sitting in for Mace. And it has not been a good week for USA basketball. They are doing a tune-up in Las Vegas, playing against some other countries before everybody goes over to Tokyo for the Olympics in a couple of weeks. Over the weekend, we lost to Nigeria when we were a 30-point favorite. And last night, Ramona, they lost to Australia 91-83. I'll ask you an open-ended question. What, in your mind, is the main reason we're losing to teams like Nigeria and Australia?
Because those are teams, and we're not really a team. I mean, we're just guys who show up.
They've been together for 6 days.
Yeah, been together for 6 days. It's kind of like an all-star team. You're, like, asking them to go out and play sophisticated coverages. And I think, to me, the biggest issue is, you know, teams like Australia, it is really important for those guys to play in their team, on their team, through all the qualifying tournaments, all the practices, training camps, et cetera. And they build this cohesiveness. I mean, you should hear Patty Mills or Joe Ingles or some of the other Australian players talk about how important it is to play for Australia, like how meaningful it is to them. And I think our team, at one point we had this back together where Jerry Colangelo had this system where you had to show up to all the offseason stuff.
Right. And all of the elite players answered the bell. Kobe, yeah. LeBron,
yep.
Duncan, Carmelo, all in their primes. Harden, Westbrook. Look at all the people that said no this time around. No,
and not just no because of the season. No last season. No the year before that.
Right.
No the year before.
LeBron. There's no Steph. There's no Clay who's still rehabbing. So in my opinion, I think you're 100% right. I think that the other teams are more conditioned to playing with each other. Our guys have been together for 6 days. We're missing a ton of people. And I still think we can win the gold medal. We'll bring this up again with Michael tomorrow when Michael comes in. I think we're good enough. We're talented enough to win the gold medal. But the rest of the world has caught up to the degree, Ramona, where if we don't send our best players, we're extremely vulnerable.
Yep.
This team's really good. It's got Damian Lillard. It's got Kevin Durant. It's got Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it'll have Devin Booker and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, who are all in the finals. They're going to join the team when the finals are over. But we're undersized. The three big men on the team are Draymond Green, Kevin Love, and Bam Adebayo. And then I looked at the list of who could have gone. We just don't have that many great big men who are American. Jokic won the MVP this year.
Yep.
You know, he's from Serbia. Joel Embiid finished second. He's from Cameroon. But without LeBron and without Steph, we're not sending our best team.
Yeah. And so Rudy Gobert's the third team All-NBA center.
And France. He's from France.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have I think a lot of it is we are not focused on USA basketball like we were you know, five, I don't know, let's even go further back. Probably 2012 was the last year I thought, like, we really gave it our full attention, and it was important for the top stars in the league to not only show up for the Olympic year, but to show up for all the years before that. Like,
well, and
when
those
they
guys
would play,
were, remember how into it they were? Remember how Kobe
really
and LeBron
it.
Would, like, go to the women's games and go to the swimming events? And, you know, and that just doesn't exist this time around. It's nobody's fault. A lot of our best players said no. A lot of it's related to the pandemic. A lot of them were hurt. But it, let's put it this way. Had Steph and LeBron been on that team, I don't know if we lose these last two games.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you about something else, and you're the perfect person to ask because you've covered the NBA for a long time, and so have I. After the game, Joe Vardon, who we've had on the show, I don't know Joe personally. I'm guessing
I do.
You do.
Yeah, pretty well, yeah.
He writes for The Athletic now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay, he used to write for a paper in Cleveland, correct? Covered
the
Cavs?
Yeah, he wrote for cleveland.com/thepointdealer.
Okay. So Joe's been around. This is not some guy who's just throwing stuff on a wall and seeing what sticks. So he's covering these games in Vegas, and you won't be able to hear Joe very clearly, but he asked Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard's at a podium sitting next to Greg Popovich, who's the Team USA coach. He's taken over for Coach K, who retired a couple years ago. So Pop and Damian Lillard are sitting there, and he asks Lillard something along the lines of, hey, you have been sitting at home watching USA beat these teams up pretty good, like beating Nigeria by 30, beating up on Australia by 24, and now you're in these games against these teams. Is it surprising you how good they are? And Lillard answers the question, and then Pop, unsolicited, Joe Vardon did not ask Popovich a question. Pop jumps on Joe Vardon. We're going to play this whole exchange. It lasts about a minute, but this is Greg Popovich objecting to the fact that Joe Vardon asked Damian Lillard about the fact they used to blow these teams out and they don't anymore.
Let me also answer that question. You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true. When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. So, can I finish my statement? Are you going to let me finish my statement or not? So you'll be quiet now while I talk, and then I'll listen to you. When you make statements about in the past just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams, and I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on, and that's incorrect.
All right, first of all, Joe Vardon didn't assume anything. Team USA gives out game notes, just like, Ramona, the game notes you get when we go to NBA games. In the game notes are all the results from the past 10, 20, 30 years. Joe Vardon's not making stuff up out of thin air. And here's what I want to get to you about, Ramona, because I think you've had the same experience as me. I don't get what Popovich is doing. If you talk to the people, the NBA Finals this year are between Monty Williams and Mike Budenholzer, who are both from Greg Popovich's coaching tree. Mm-hmm. They both worked for Pop. If you talk to Steve Kerr, if you talk to Mike Brown, if you talk to veteran reporters around the league, if you talk to David Aldridge, if you talk to Doris Burke, all of these people will tell you that Greg Popovich is the greatest guy, that he is a great mentor, a great teacher, great to be in the room with. They've learned a ton from him. And for him to continue to jump on the media for no reason, to come off as arrogant and obnoxious and that he's better than everybody else, doesn't fit what everyone has always said about this guy. What is Greg Popovich doing?
Well, the word that came to mind in just listening to that is patronizing. Right. You know what that is? It's like when you're
treating him like he was 10.
Yeah. Are you going to be quiet now? I mean, that's like, if you say that to anyone, it's disrespectful. Like, it's just, I don't care how much you hate the premise of the question. I mean, essentially what he's doing is he's challenging the premise of Joe's question, right?
Right, which was accurate. That, by the way, that's critical in this conversation. Yeah. Joe Varden asked a legitimate question.
Right. And what it seems like is that you're a poor loser. I mean, that's what it's saying. Now, knowing Pop the way I know him, okay, Pop is an Army guy. You have to, you always have
right.
to remember.
Came from the military, used to be the head coach at Air Force.
Correct. So he is, he sees everything as, you're part of my battalion. You're part of my troop. Like, you're, I'm going to defend my guys no matter what. So when his team loses, he's trying to protect his team. He's trying to essentially say, like, they tried their best, you know, but he's deflecting and trying to protect them as much as possible because they're part of his, you know, battalion, whatever you want to call it. Okay. And he's the leader. And so I see everything through that lens when I hear Pop talking. So he has always seen the media as somebody who is not part of the battalion, which, by the way, we're not. We are not part of your team. Even though we're all Americans, we are, you know, your side of the fence, our side of the fence, right? We're not rooting for you or what, you know, that's the difference between media and team and player. And he looks at us like the only thing the media can do is tear our team apart. The only thing the media can do is tear our battalion apart. I mean, that's the military view of Greg Popovich's style of leadership. Does that make sense?
It does, but he's not, Ramona, he looks terrible.
No,
it's a terrible look.
And here's what it is. What he's not grasping is in his mind, he doesn't care that he looks terrible. He's just trying to protect his guys and shield his guys from it. So what he's doing in the answer, if you listen to him closely, is he says, you're disrespecting the other teams we're playing. Like, in other words, he's trying to question the premise. And he did this all two years ago when they were in the World Cup and they finished like ninth. Remember how embarrassing that was?
Right.
He's basically saying these other teams around the world are good. So if we lose, it's not because we didn't play well or play hard. It's because the other teams are good. That's his way of protecting his team from all the criticism. But I just think it confounds reality. Like, Americans are used to the dream team that blows everybody out by 50 points, right? Like, you saw the stats. Or you quoted the stats, the records, et cetera. Now, the gap has closed in recent years as other countries, like Australia has been very good, Spain, Serbia, Greece has even had some good runs here, although they don't have Giannis, right? So that would make them really good. But there's a lot of teams around the world that have really developed their programs. And Pop is trying to account for both things while also protecting his guys. It just comes at the expense of the media. And what he doesn't understand is it just comes across as exceptionally patronizing, and it actually doesn't help their cause.
Well,
like, it doesn't
not only,
do what he's trying to do.
It comes off as arrogant, and already they think Americans are arrogant.
Yeah.
And we're not sending our best players, which is a level of arrogance,
yep.
You know, however you want to do it.
Yep.
I wish one of these guys, and they're all with him. I mean, you talk to PJ Carlissimo, swears by Pop.
Yep.
Steve Kerr, Mike Brown, Monty Williams.
Part of his team, part of his battalion.
But those guys just, they, like, if you ever say anything around those guys negative about Greg Popovich, they'll say, you just don't understand him.
Yeah.
He's like the greatest guy.
Steve Kerr would never say that. Let's put it, I know Steve Kerr very well.
What I was just going to say. Why not let Kerr coach the team if Pop's going to represent us like that? He doesn't realize that he's coming off as the thing he, because I've heard him talk about this subject.
Yep.
He detests ugly Americans. He hated President Trump because he thought he was being an ugly American.
Yeah.
Pop came off like an ugly American yesterday.
And
by the way, they play again today. They tip off at 3:00. So while you and they could
Who
lose
they play?
They could lose to Argentina. They play them
today.
Argentina
lose to Argentina. Yeah.
Yeah. Argentina's good. You know what? I don't. If we lose, I think the rest of the world is caught up. And I wish that's what Pop would have said. Is if he wanted to interject himself into Joe Varden's question, what he should have said is, Joe, I know you want to focus on the fact that we've always blown these teams out.
Yep.
But look around the NBA. The world has caught up to us.
Yep.
The world, the result of the 1992 Dream Team was that kids around the world started playing basketball. And now those kids are all adults, and they're very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you, and I know what he was trying to do was get Varden to drop this line of questioning. And he could have done it in such a nicer way. I know to your point, he doesn't care about being nice, but he could have said to him, Joe, take this opportunity to look around the world. The teams we were blowing out by 30, 40, 50 points don't exist anymore. Those teams are gone. these teams you
That's
saw,
right.
Nigeria over the weekend, Australia tonight, probably Argentina tomorrow, these teams have caught up to the United States, and that's why this tournament is going to be highly competitive. I have no idea who's going to win, but we're going to work hard. We've only been together for 6 days. We think we have got great talent and great fight, and hopefully we'll be on one of those medal stands at the end. But those teams are gone, those teams that you're making reference to that we blew up by 50 or 60 points. That would have been a really salient point for Pop to make. He wouldn't have come across as ugly. He wouldn't have unnecessarily embarrassed Joe Varden and himself. And I hope if they lose to Argentina, and like you just said, they could. I hope if they lose to Argentina, when Pop comes out tonight, he follows that line. I know he does, he's not going to listen to me, but those guys that care about him, PJ and Kerr and Mike Brown, somebody send him a note and just say, hey, man, I know you're defending your guys, but you're coming off as arrogant and as an ugly American, and it doesn't make you look good.
And here's a point somebody made to me once, and I always like, I'm going to steal this line. I'm not going to attribute it, but I'm going to steal the line, okay? you know, don't make yourself more important than you are, okay? So he just made Joe Varden really important. Do you know what I mean? Like, he could have answered the question for what it was.
And it wasn't even asked to him.
Right. It was asked to Lillard. He could have answered the question without elevating Joe Varden to a more important place than he needed to be. Like, the question is a fair question. If you don't like the question, that's fine. You can dismiss it. You can dismiss the premise. But you don't have to do it in a way where you bring the reporter into the story. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like, he made it very personal. And I got to be – you mentioned earlier Doris Burke swears by him. I don't know about all that. Like, I remember hearing her on a podcast at one point talking about how, you know, when Pop in his sideline interviews, like, he's very gruff and awkward, you know, like.
Yeah. Unnecessarily mean.
Unnecessarily mean. Like, I think she's like, I think people in the league are kind of tired of that. Like, it just feels like it's sport for him. Like, he's just going to pick on.
Well, by the way, meanness, Ramona, in general is very not 2021.
Yeah.
You know, kindness is quite popular right now, and he's the opposite of kind right now. And and I know he's got those clubs in his bags. I wish he would use them. All right, coming up. By the way, 877-710-ESPN. If you want to jump in on any of this, anything Ramona or I say, phones are open all the time. 877-710-3776. We'll look for some of your phone calls, and we'll spin the wheel of questions. Coming up next, Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace, and every day we spin the wheel of questions. The wheel is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. You got a car that's just sitting around and not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Okay, Jorge, spin the wheel. Okay, this is a good one for all involved. Two of your best friends, different friends, ask you to stand up in their wedding. Their weddings are at the same time on the same day in different cities.
Uh-oh.
What do you do, and how do you decide? Ramona, two of your best friends getting married, they both want you in the wedding, same time, same day. Ooh. How do you decide?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on who my better friend is.
Like, let's say they're of equal importance to you. And neither one of them are family, so you can't use that as an excuse.
No, but no one's of equal importance. I mean, there's always a line where you decide. There's always, like, you kind of know who your better friend is. Oh, maybe the answer is, who would understand most if I didn't go?
I think that is a very fair way to answer.
Yeah.
Lindsay, how about you? How do you decide?
I think if they were of – see, I have, like, one best friend in the whole world. And if it were her versus anyone else, I would always say yes to her. But if it were like her and my sister, I would probably do.
All right.
Say,
what? How about this, Lindsay? Mason and Ireland are getting married on the same day, in different cities at the same time. Which wedding do you go to?
Oh well, if it's different cities, I was going to say, I would tell them that I can't be in either of their weddings, but then I would go to both weddings as a guest.
Well, what's one's in New York and one's in LA?
Right.
Probably
Mace would do that in Hawaii or something, you know.
I would probably do something where I'm like, let's let's put our name, put your guys' names in a hat or something like that. And I'll pick
right, Jorge,
one out. And
I'm
so
getting,
everyone knows
I'm
it's
getting
fair.
Married, and Mason's getting married same time, same day. You get invited
where,
to be
where
in,
are you getting married, John?
Be
married,
well, you know I'm going big. You know, maybe,
tell me where. This matters.
Okay, I would probably... I would probably get married on the Big Island in Hawaii.
Oof.
Mason,
I'm going to yours.
Yeah,
okay, no. Mason would get married at like a place where he is now. He's in Calistoga right now, like someplace earthy.
Going to yours.
I'll go to John's.
Yeah. All right. So here's some things you could ask. What gifts are they planning to give people in their wedding before making your decision? So you'd get a better gift from me.
That doesn't factor for me. Mine is, it all comes down all right. to who would be most mad at me if I didn't go.
Ramona, in that case, you should go to Mason's. Because
yeah,
I literally
Mason would get mad.
Literally would not care.
Right.
Like, I tell people all the time, I'm the greatest wedding guest ever. Because if you invite me to your wedding, I'm going to RSVP no and send you a gift off your registry. So you're going to get something out of me and you don't have to pay for me to be at your wedding.
Totally. That's great.
All right. So do these things matter? What kind of food they're serving at each wedding?
I think I care more about who else is going to each one.
Okay. How about this? One of them has an open bar. The other one does not. Does that matter?
I'm there. Open bar.
No.
You know what I think?
I like to get drunk at weddings. I think it's too
much. Yeah. And I don't drink. So, you know, one thing I would ask, though, is.
Yeah, but Lindsay, the party's more fun if everyone else is drunk.
That's true. But one thing I would consider is, what type of wedding is it? As in, is this like a huge 400-person wedding? Or is it like a smaller group of people that they consider close friends and family? Because in that case, if someone was having 400 people there, they probably wouldn't notice or miss me if I weren't there. But the smaller one, if they considered me that good of a friend and they were having a small 50-person wedding and they wanted me to be there, I would take that into consideration.
My mom taught me a really valuable lesson once just in parties, about parties in general. Like I wasn't feeling great and I was telling her how I was ticked off because I had to go to this party. And she goes, so it's going to be a fun party. And I go, yeah. She goes, there's going to be a lot of people there. And I said, yeah, tons. Like everybody I know. And she goes, well, if it's going to be that good of a party, no one's going to miss you.
True.
And I thought about it for a second and I went, she goes, you miss out, but you're the one that doesn't want to go. She said, don't go. Like Mason is the king of ghosting.
Yeah.
Like if you ever have like any, like the other night for Mason movie night, he showed up for the start of the movie so he could take pictures with a few people. The minute the movie started, he left. When he goes to baseball games, he'll go to the game, sit there, take a couple of pictures he can put on his Instagram, and he's gone by the fifth inning.
Wow.
You know, so, but to which I say, if you don't want to be there, no one's going to miss you.
Sure.
No one's going to miss you at a game. Like, I never leave games early because I'm too
Me
curious
neither.
About how they're going to end.
Yeah, and that's the fun part.
But like if you ever like really don't want to go to a party or don't want to go to a wedding or don't want to go to something, don't go. No one's going to miss you, especially if it's any good.
Well, the other thing too is if you
no
don't
one's gonna
go,
miss you.
If you don't go, then you don't get invited again.
Right.
Like that's the thing. So
and I want to be invited to less things.
Yeah. Mason wants to be invited to everything, but not actually go to anything.
Correct.
I'm with
you.
Inviting
me to feel invited.
Yeah.
But
I don't need to feel important. I don't need to be invited to anything, honestly.
Right. And so I've been like, I stole this from one of Lisa's friends, but I'm accepting no new applications. If you're not already in my phone.
No friends.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. If you're not already in my phone, I'm capped out. Sorry.
There's a song called No New Friends.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I don't even see the people I like enough.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
I wish I saw more. I miss a lot of my friends. And I feel fortunate to have the ones that I've got. So, but to me, Ramon, I think that's a good answer. Which one of the two people would hold it against you more if you didn't go?
Yeah.
And in the scenario I presented you guys, Mason would absolutely hold it against you, and I would forget about it the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you go.
You know what I told Brenda? I told Brenda, hey, I said, can we go back to pandemic mode when it comes to parties or hanging out with family on the weekends? Like, I just want to stay home, man.
There are parts of the pandemic, I'm with you, Jorge, parts of the pandemic that that were, let's say, convenient. You know, that you don't, things you don't have to do that you never really liked doing in the first place. All right, coming up next, LeBron did a podcast yesterday, and if you're a Laker fan, you're going to like what he said. We'll share it with you coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, this week it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne filling in for Mace. And you may have heard that Space Jam, the movie, is coming out on Friday. LeBron is in the Michael Jordan role. He's the star of it. Anthony Davis is in it. Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson. Don Cheadle is in it. Great actor. Yeah. And so LeBron is doing some press for Space Jam. And the other day, he did a podcast called The Smartless Podcast. Lindsay, who hosts this thing? It's Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes and somebody else. I can't. Do you know?
I thought it was Jason Sudeikis.
It's Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes. I don't know if all of them were there. But they do, you know, they interview celebrities. And so LeBron doesn't do a lot of podcasts or a lot of radio. He, of course, does The Shop, which is his show. Mm-hmm. And then he'll come on with us after games and on Media Day because we're the Lakers' right holder, and he'll do some stuff at Time Warner. But LeBron doesn't do a ton of stuff. So he did this podcast that came out on Monday. And a lot of people ask him this because he's 36. How much longer are you going to do this? Is this your last stop? How much longer are you going to go? If you're a Laker fan, listen carefully to this because I think you're going to like it.
Listen, I truly hope that I can finish my career with the Lakers, and how many years that is, if it's four, five, six, whatever, seven.
There we go.
You know, I hope I can continue to play the game. You know, I love being in L.A. My family loves being in L.A. Being with a historical franchise like the Lakers is something like, it's like me, you know, being in Space Jam now. I never thought it'd be possible. You think about Kareem and Magic and Wilt and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, Kobe, Shaq, all the whole list goes on.
Ramona, what jumped out at me about that was, however many years, four, five, six, whatever, seven, he's not, you know, he's got two more years left on his Laker deal, mm-hmm. and then they extended it two past that. He's not thinking short term here. And remember, until he got hurt this year, he was the leader in the MVP race.
Yep.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to put any limits on this dude. I'm thinking he's the NBA heir to Tom Brady, who's 43 and still playing. If you add seven to LeBron right now, that would take him to 43. I think that's extremely good news, possibly for the Lakers.
Well, yes, but it's a different sport. I mean, that's a lot of years. I mean, first of all, he should not be naming things, like not putting numbers on things. Like the last time he did not five, not six, not seven. I mean, I heard that. Oh, man, there's a fun callback to the decision, right?
Right. Of course, yeah, they played that all the time about those days.
But, like, you know, he four, five, six, seven. I mean, he's 36 now. So 4 years gets until he's 40. 5 years is 41. 6 years is 42. 7 years is 43. Like, whoa, really?
Well, he obviously doesn't need the money. He's got enough money to live forever, you know. Yep. And his kids.
He has generational wealth.
Right. He's going to be a billionaire this year. So the fact that he's thinking about that, about playing well past when we all thought he was going to play, is potentially exciting. And by the way, it also, if you're Rob Pelinka, and I'm sure he's communicated that to Rob, it affects how you build your teams moving forward over this next four or five
years. That's right. Because last year when they were deciding, you know, what to do in the offseason, a lot of what I heard was the idea was LeBron's going to play for a couple more years, but the Lakers need to find a second star who is age appropriate for Anthony Davis.
Right.
In other words, AD resigns as the 5-year extension. So you need to find somebody who's about Anthony Davis's age that can sort of, you know, grow with him. Somebody in the 20s. And theoretically, that was supposed to be Dennis Schroeder. Now, I wouldn't consider Schroeder a star, but he's certainly a really good player. That obviously didn't work out the way anyone planned. Okay, that's probably the nicest way to put it. And I think they still need to find a co-star that's more age appropriate for AD. But if LeBron wants to play 5 or 6 more years, maybe not. Maybe his timeline coincides with Anthony Davis more than we would all initially have assumed. Maybe they don't necessarily have to get somebody younger who can grow with AD. Maybe he can just continue to be LeBron's younger teammate. I mean, that's and eventually he takes more of the reins and Bron fades a little bit. I assume. I just assume that's going to happen because he's getting older, but it hasn't yet. So I like that timeline. I also think whenever people put a time on things, remember the last LeBron saying that not five, not six. Okay. But the last person in Lakerland who put a timeline on things was Jim Buss.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
when he put that, oh, if I can't have us turned around and
yeah,
two or three
he put
years.
And you and I were two of the people in the media who actually really got along with Jim.
Yep.
He put a clock on himself.
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird.
Yeah, and it was too short as well. Like
yeah.
and it was also not definitive. It was like, well, what does backing contention mean? Does that mean playoffs? Does that mean conference finals? Does that mean it was sort of there was a clock, but it was it 2 years or 3 years? 2 years from when? 2 years from that year? You know, like it's sort of all it does is get people talking about exactly the clock you put on yourself. And it gives everyone else something to continue to measure you by, which I like the confidence in that. It's good to give yourself goals and set them, but maybe not so specific. Maybe not so public. So I like that LeBron put it way out there. 4, 5, 6, 7. Essentially, he's saying, I'm going to play as long as I want. That's good.
Well, yeah, I'm just glad he still wants to play. Because obviously, yeah. these guys are making so much money now, they don't need to. Like, Steph Curry could retire tomorrow
oh, yeah.
and be set. Same with
well,
LeBron.
Well, and John, it's all about how much effort you have to put into getting ready to play at that level. I mean, the older you get, the harder you have to work. The more you have to sacrifice in terms of your diet and training and keeping yourself in shape. And I mean, most guys, when they finally decide that they're done, there's two things that happen. Their body doesn't work as well as it used to. And two, they get tired of putting in all the work that needs to have diminishing returns. So maybe, you know?
Yep. All right. Coming up next. There are differing opinions on what is going on with Aaron Rodgers. We'll share those with you. And ESPN does this every year right before the football season. They rank the quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks in the league. A few people got a problem with these rankings. We'll get into some NFL next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.